Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube. Uncertainty. Fear. It's been a long week in Calgary. Waiting, wondering. Yeah, and now the disappointment. Good evening, Flames fans, and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you with us on Free Agent Frenzy Day. And not much of a frenzy if you're a Flames fan, right? More of a, I don't know, what would you say, like a counseling day if you're a Flames fan? I don't know. It's been a difficult one. I don't know. I don't think many of us saw what transpired today as coming, but... Yeah, it's here, it's now, and we'll figure it out, right? Draft day was boring. I don't even know. We're not going to talk much about the draft tonight. A little bit. Tense week. Are you stressed? I'm stressed. I don't know. I need to just, like, decompress from the wondering what we're going to have in front of us. You know, I don't know. I think I got too worked up about this. And then I see a wedding picture from Sean Monahan's wedding, and I see Gaudreau there, and I'm like, God, that's good news. Gabranson's there. Oh, gosh. You know, we forget they're friends. They're friends. They're teammates. They're friends. Yeah, they do things together other than hockey. Maybe we shouldn't think too much into those things. Maybe we should. Maybe everybody in Calgary needs to go to the Stampede and have a few toddies, huh? Few beers, maybe wash the worries and the problems away. Oh, I don't know. We got a good show today, though. We're gonna recap the draft really quickly, and then regular guest Kyle Lewis is gonna join the show again, and we're gonna discuss the Gaudreau situation, the free agent signings today, Tkachuk, the future of the team, where we go, what the summer brings, what lies ahead, and you know, pretty much a Flames counseling session. And I think that's pretty much all we need right now as a Flames fan, right? We need to kind of work our way through this and kind of counsel each other. Then we'll roll into some Flames news and an interesting Facebook poll that I posted here yesterday and got some interesting results too. And yeah, we'll go through that. Thanks for joining us on an off-season edition of Flames Unfiltered, an important one as the news Flames fans received yesterday was probably the biggest news we've received in quite a long time, longer than I can remember. All right, Flames fans, we got to recap last week's draft, right? Kind of important. Not as important this year for the Flames, with just three picks on the table. And, yeah, second round we started. We didn't have a first-round pick. We gave that up, but we had to give it up to get to Foley, so that's okay, right? 59th pick overall. The Flames pick forward, Topi Roine. Bigger size center. I'm not a big prospect guy. I'll preface this whole topic, and that's why we're not going to talk about the draft a whole lot. I know the first round guys, and after that, I know some heres and theres. From what I've heard, this guy has he's an offensive forward, a good toolkit, a Finnish player, a big guy, 6'2", 181. And has some strong upside. The Flames did not pick again until the fifth round, 155th overall. Take Parker Bell out of the Tri-City of the WHL. Another big forward. He is a Canadian, 6'4", 192. Big, big boy. Plays a physical game. Kind of a prototypical big WHL player. has a huge ceiling for a fifth-round pick. In the seventh round, 219th overall, the Flames picked Cade Littler, also a big body, 6'3", 197. He plays in Wenatchee of the BCHL, plays for his father, Bliss Littler, who I know. He's from my hometown. I watch Bliss play hockey. He's a few years older than me. After his hockey career, he went on to do some coaching in the North American Hockey League and then now in the BCHL with the Wenatchee Wild. He's been with Wenatchee for 10-plus years, I know that for sure. Yeah, good to see the Flames pick somebody with a little bit of hometown connections with me. Cade Littler is going to Mankato of the NCHC and NCAA hockey in the States. A very, very strong hockey program will be a great place for him to develop. He's kind of going to be one of these prospects that's going to have a long runway. We're not going to see from him for quite some time. But, you know, anytime you're throwing in a seventh-round pick, you know, you're hoping to catch a flyer, and Cade might be this. Great hockey mind, good hockey sense, can shoot the puck, and we'll see where Cade Littler comes out. But an uneventful draft, as there was no signings, no trades, really nothing from the Calgary Flames. A pretty uneventful 2 days if you're a Flames fan. That's how this year's draft went. And, yeah, that's how it went. Three picks, three big bodies. Yeah, Daryl Sutter having some influence there. And, yeah, all forwards picked by the Flames this year. Joining Flames Unfiltered now, Kyle Lewis is back. Always good conversations when Kyle joins us. Good to have you with us, Kyle.
Always a pleasure, Brad. Thanks for having me.
You know, we've had some animated conversations in the past on the show, and I don't know. Today, we have a lot to talk about, and I don't even know where to start. I don't know where to go with this. Let's just start with the big news. Last night, Johnny Gaudreau announces that he'll be testing free agency. I want to start with, and I know you're a big Johnny Gaudreau fan, and I not that I'm not, because we're Flames fans. But what was your initial reaction?
Well, there's two things that were similar yet different to me that were said last night, you know, on Twitter and in the media. One was he's going to test free agency. The other was he's informed the Flames he's not returning to Calgary. Those are not the same thing.
No, I know, but everybody treated them the same, though, didn't they?
They did, and that kind of bothered me a bit because it really muddied the whole situation. Now when it came out that he told the Flames he wasn't returning, it's like, okay, he's no longer testing free agency. He is going to sign somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And Brad Treliving made that very clear.
Very, very clear. And there was about a 15-minute window, for me anyway, from when I saw the comment about not returning to Calgary and Treliving's comments. It was just like getting punched in the gut. It was the closest feeling to losing Game 7 in 2004 that I can remember, to be quite honest.
That's a really good way to describe it, Kyle. That's a really good way. My initial reaction? I really wasn't all that surprised. As the days progressed into this over the last 2 weeks, my blood pressure and my stress level has went up and up and up and up, and for two reasons. The first being that I wanted him to sign at a legitimate contract price that's good for him, obviously, because he deserves it, but also good for the team, and so that we could build around him. But as the days progressed, I started seeing the writing on the wall a little bit more each and every day. And it was, when it was announced last night, I was like, okay. I'm not going to lie. When I heard he's going to test free agency, my head initially just was like, he's gone.
Yeah.
And now that you say that and you say there is a big difference, there is a giant difference because Steven Stamkos tested free agency.
Yes. Well, that's a great example. Well said.
I listened to the press conference with Brad Treliving last night, and I don't know. I mean, I could tell he was frustrated because I do believe, and Trulivan's just getting a rip on Twitter today, and it's pissing me off, because what was he supposed to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. He had a contending team. Like, I think anybody who's an objective hockey fan could agree that, you know, Calgary should have advanced past the second round. Maybe they don't get any further because Colorado was so strong, but the team fell on its face, you know, injuries, poor play. We know we've talked a bit about that before. But the only issue that I take with Brad Trulivan on this, it was a hell of a gamble and one that we had every reason to believe would pay off. So a lot of people, when they start to criticize him, have to look at that first and foremost. John said several times he wanted to stay in Calgary, saw a future there. It was, you know, a lot of reasons, maybe not every reason, obviously, because of the family connection, but a lot of reasons to believe he's going to stay in Calgary. So the only area that I felt Brad Trulivan, what I felt he should have done, is this should never have gone to the 11th hour to try and sign him. I think his rights should have been traded, you know, 3-4 days ago, because they should have known by that point. I think they should have known
I think they should have known too, but I think that falls on Johnny Gaudreau's camp. When he's still negotiating and they're going back and forth yesterday.
Yeah.
And plus, honestly, the risk of maybe swinging a miracle deal at the last minute to me is worth a fourth round pick, because that's all we would have got.
Yeah. Yeah, it.
And then, you know, I hear a lot of people today were telling me, well, they should have moved him last year. And I'm like, come on, people. If in the middle of December last year, when this team was rocking and rolling, if Brad Trulivan would have came out and said, yeah, we've moved Johnny Gaudreau, there would have been fires in the streets of Calgary.
Yeah, more than a few. I guess at the end of the day, and I don't want to be very clear and objective about my stance on it, is that as a general manager, when you lose a superstar player for absolutely nothing, it's hard not to wear that to some extent. And that isn't to say he should have done this, he should have done that. He's the GM of record when Gaudreau left for nothing. And I agree with you 100% that a lot of this falls on the player, if not all of it, because you could tell, as you said, from Trulivan's comments last night, they were right there. They believed they were there. They believed it was going to get done. You know, so did a lot of us fans. So I'm not going to judge Trulivan until I see how he pivots from this, as I'll put it.
Today, Pierre LeBrun confirmed that Calgary's last offer to Johnny Gaudreau was 8 years at 10.5, which is a million more than my inner goal was 9.5.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I think Johnny Gaudreau is a great hockey player, But Johnny Gaudreau is not a player like Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, that's going to throw the team on their back and run them to the cup. And that's not a slight on Johnny Gaudreau, because there's very few people I can count in the league that I would put into that category. Now, 8 years at 10.5. To me, that is a valid offer, and I think the Flames threw their best cards onto the table.
No question.
And then we hear, just prior to jumping on this show, that Johnny Gaudreau has signed a 7-year deal with Columbus for 9.75. The dollar amount doesn't leave me as speechless as the location.
I think that's...
I'm flabbergasted. Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, okay, this sums up my day completely.
and all of us, I had dinner with a buddy of mine last night who works the Blue Jackets in the scouting department, and I talked to him just before when I came on. I think he's shocked. He heard earlier today internally that, you know, they were getting close with Johnny Gaudreau, and everybody's shocked. There isn't an analyst or a fan anywhere on the planet that can say they had any inkling of this prior to a few hours ago, where they're saying, oh, you know, Columbus is a dark horse here. It's like, okay. I've been to Columbus. I've seen the Flames play there. It's a beautiful city. Great place to raise a family, you know, for whatever he's told me, but it makes absolutely no sense to me. And I've spoken to some people close to John as well, and some of them are equally as shocked.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, they're not. They're not a contending team.
I had Columbus on my list only because they had the cap space.
Well, that's the only reason anybody would have them on
literally
the list in my mind. Yeah.
I just said, okay, I said I put them down because they were capable of doing it. But I thought there's no way Johnny Gaudreau is going to Columbus. Like, there's no way. Like, what's the draw? Unless they said, okay, we'll give you $13 million.
But yeah, it wasn't even that, right? I mean, he left, what did Frank Saravelli say, $15 million on the table in Calgary?
Yeah, $15 plus million.
And then it was 10, I want to say 10.2 per year on a 5 or 6 year deal from Jersey, which Jersey is a hell of a lot closer to home for him. I mean, Philly, I believe, would be the closest, but Jersey's right there.
I did. I thought New Jersey was a shoe-in. I kind of ruled out Philadelphia simply because, number one, they didn't even have the cap space to make it work. No. And number two, I don't see that as a premium landing spot for Johnny Gaudreau. And just, I don't know, just the makeup of that team. And I thought the Islanders, I thought, well, okay, that's a possibility, but I don't know. I mean, I did. I thought New Jersey was a shoe-in. I really did. And when
I did too. Really did.
When this broke today, I don't even know what to, I don't know what to even think. And you know what? I was like last night. I was a little bit frustrated with Johnny Gaudreau because it's like, okay, if this isn't a money thing, then why are we negotiating up to the last minute?
And that's a point that I don't think anybody can argue with you.
That didn't make any sense to me. So it's like, okay, it's a family deal. And you know what? I'm all about family. You have to make sure that your family life is good because your life sucks if it isn't. So I'm all for that. And if you have to sacrifice $1 million a year at his pay level, that's fine. Happiness is worth not, you can't put a figure on that. So I respect the heck out of that. But for him to be negotiating back and forth with For Living on Tuesday, and then say it's not a money deal, it's a family deal, and then sign not in New Jersey for less money. I'm like, well, I guess that solidifies it wasn't a money deal, but it wasn't a common sense deal either. I don't know. I guess that made me a little bit mad at Johnny Gaudreau. It's like, you know, he doesn't owe the team anything, and the team took him to the limit 6 years ago. He had the leverage. I respect that. He earned that. You know what? He earned that. But I don't know what holding the flames over the fire until the last minute benefited him. I don't, because I think a month ago, if he just said, you know what, peace out, thanks, it was fun, I'm going to a team in the East that's a little bit closer to home, he would have got the same amount of money he got today, and the Flames could have got a few things done, and I don't know why he would feel necessary to hold it to the last minute. I just don't understand that.
I don't think anybody does, and I don't think there's any real defense of that behavior other than to say that I think it was a difficult choice, and there maybe he believed, you know, that he was going to stay, and maybe finally at the end, it's. I'm trying to think of something to liken it to, but
I know it's tough.
Like, I got offered a really good job a few years ago, and I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I gave verbal notice to my current employer and was going to sign a contract with the other employer, and I didn't sign it, and then, you know, that guy convinced me to stay, and nothing else in my life I could compare to it, and I don't want to sound as if I have any idea what it would have been like in his shoes, you know, with that type of a career, that type of profession, that type of money, but it's just a really, really strange circumstance, and one that I think we're going to, even after John speaks to the media, after we hear from, you know, John Davidson, Jarmo Kekalainen in Columbus, more from Brad Treliving, I don't think we're ever truly going to understand it. Nope. And I think that's one of the hardest things as a Flames fan to do and to try to do is to try and understand it.
I don't know. It really caught me off guard, but I watched the storm that there was on Twitter last night of...
Oh, wasn't that something?
You know, and it kind of frustrated me because it was almost like, come on, guys. Like, hockey isn't the NBA. Like, we're not built upon one player. Now, is it going to be a challenge and a half to replace a 100-point guy? Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. But you know what? We still have a fairly solid roster, and now... we have some cap, too, to work with. So as much as I'm disappointed that he's gone, like, holy cow, like, take the gun away from the head, people. Holy cow, we're gonna be okay.
Well, yeah, and I mean, well, there's a few things to kind of unpack there. People reacting so angrily and so much vitriol about it. I mean, it's a sport. At the end of the day, it's a sport. It's for entertainment. I mean, to take it so personally, and trust me, I'm still hurting over it. I think it sucks. I wasn't kidding when I tweeted that my psychologist reached out to me, albeit jokingly, to say,
I did laugh at that.
No, yeah, that was a good one. Actually emailed me. You know, I live and breathe this team, and it sucks, but it's not the end of the world. And I think one of the things I want to point out, and I may be a little bit off on the stat, but I know I'm close. There hasn't been a team win a Stanley Cup with a player that makes
10+.
I think it's 10+. I believe, yeah, yep. I believe that's correct.
You're completely correct. I've heard this multiple times during the playoffs this year.
There's no reason to believe. You know, there's going to be different with Gaudreau in Calgary. And again, not a slight on him, as you said yourself. Phenomenal player. The biggest challenge for Calgary is that I would argue next to McDavid and Edmonton, no other team relies so heavily on a player to drive their offense than Calgary did on Johnny Gaudreau.
No, I would agree. I would agree.
Matthews is right there, but I think Matthews has a more consistent supporting cast around him, in my opinion.
You remember when the Islanders lost John Tavares?
Oh, like it was yesterday.
Yeah, man, it was like the end of the world on the island. It was literally the end of the world. And they went on the next year to have a successful year and then went to two conference finals the following 2 years after that. Now, I'm not saying we're going to the conference finals next year. And I look at this roster now, and I'm the first to admit, it's not as good as it was last year. And we've got a lot of things to get figured out between now and September 15th.
Absolutely.
But that being said, I don't think we need to tear this down and burn it down and, go on the Connor Bedard train this year. I don't understand where or why fans are so irrational, I guess, sometimes.
Obviously the emotion, but otherwise, yeah, I agree. First of all, with Daryl Sutter as coach, this team is not tanking. That's not going to happen. It's not on the table. It's not an option. And I also agree with you that there's too much skill in this team. I'm a little concerned by some of what we saw today. Now, I like the signing of Trevor Lewis, cheap deal, good foot soldier kind of thing. Bringing Zadorov back, he's big, he's mean. You know, that just broke, I don't know, an hour ago.
Yep.
The money's a little much, but it's a two-year deal. I don't hate that.
I don't hate the Zadorov deal. It's a slight risk.
I do hate, as stupid as it is to even mention at this point, the Rooney deal. Why you're paying a guy, who's barely a fourth liner, if that, $1.4 million, well, you got a proven vet like Trevor Lewis, who's, has his nights, only making $800,000. That, to me, those are the things. Never mind the Gaudreau thing, which obviously is the biggest topic. That's what I want to say to Bradshaw. Like, why are you signing this guy? And if you are, why is he not getting league minimum? What are you seeing that I or so many other fans are not seeing?
Can I tell you a story about this morning when this all went down? I was heated. I don't know. I just don't like losing players, right? So I was heated this morning when I got to work. And the TSN broadcast comes up on the TV at work, and we're working as the day is going on, and the broadcast is going, and I'm back and forth between that and, Twitter, and listening to the Fan 960, and they say we signed Rooney. I'm like, who?
Yeah.
And then we get Gilbert.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I consider myself a hockey freak, and I know stuff I probably don't even need to know. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, I need hockey DB to even find out who these guys are.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple things there. That the funny thing is, and especially in the wake of losing Johnny Gaudreau, Flames Twitter immediately assumes that every player signed
is filling his shoes. Oh yeah,
yeah. But they always think that they're going to play in the big club. The reality is, there's a lot of players that are going to be assigned to the new Calgary AHL affiliate. So hopefully those guys are on that list. I mean, depth is depth, and True Living talks about it at length, but they have an AHL roster in Calgary they need to fill out with veterans as well.
They do. And there's a lot of them that – there's a lot of guys missing off our AHL too. there's a lot of guys that we need to get, you know, to shore that roster up too. But I guess the timing was so bad for those signings, just simply.
Oh, yeah.
Just because so many people were just still in the hysteria days of, losing Johnny Gaudreau. And then we see these names coming across that are just like, you know, they're making Ryan Carpenter look like that was good. You know what I mean? And it's not fair for us right now to be judging these just because we don't even know how it's going to pan out and how it's going to work out. But was it the Gilbert one that was signed as a one-way deal though? Yeah.
Yeah, that yeah, that's, I don't understand that.
That's the one that I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to, like, the Gabranson thing, you know, like, I kind of wanted us to get Gabranson, but then I saw what Columbus gave him, and I was like, you guys have a good time with that, you know?
Yeah, and good for him, and I can't remember if it was maybe Kent Wilson or Mike Gould or somebody said, hey, you know, good for Eric Gabranson. I'm like, hell yeah, he just parlayed a fantastic year under the perfect coach, the only coach I believe he'll ever play that well under. And, yes. You know, the guy's still a decent player, but... If Calgary had signed that deal, like, the pitchforks would be out after the Gaudreau than that. Like, it's just, oh, man. Like, you know, best of luck to him. But I think he's very replaceable, whether it's, if Michael Stone can have another decent year and play maybe full-time.
Well, we have to sign Michael Stone.
Well, and I think they will. But the other guy that they get today, Malush, I think was his name. Yeah. I read a little bit about him. Really, really good penalty killer. Seems to be quite a bit of upside, so maybe that's his spot to lose. Anyway, the good news so far, unlike typical Bradtree living free agent, and it just started, so God knows, we haven't seen a stupid, stupid, stupid move yet.
No, and you know what? I'm really glad.
I'm thinking of Troy Brouwer. I got Troy Brouwer dancing in my head right now. That's, and of course, James Neal.
I'm really glad, though, that he didn't just knee-jerk one off today and grab a Kadri at 9-9 or some silly number. You know what I mean?
I was really worried, yeah.
I just was like, oh, no. But I really do hope they sign Michael Stone. I think he's a great guy, even if he isn't in the top six. He's that guy that can sit in the press box and come in 20 games later and pick up where he left off. Yarncroc, I didn't know what the money is going to be on that one. I'm still not writing that guy off as a possible depth center.
To me, it'd have to be a prove-it deal. He really didn't play that well in Calgary. No. He's nothing wrong with this game, but he really didn't assert himself. He didn't look like he fit in. And, you know, based on the fact he and Elias Lindholm are first cousins, I think he's a Daryl Sutter-type player in a lot of ways. I could see him sticking around, but the money has to make sense.
What do we do with Matthew Tkachuk now?
I go back and forth on this one a lot. I don't know. I you got to try and sign him long term, I think.
When's your okay? And I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah, I don't.
What's your dollar and when's your cut off?
Yeah, well, based on this, and you know the fact that the Flames have a history of losing top players for nothing, or essentially nothing. It depends on how the season goes, but I think you have to have something in place for the trade deadline, to be honest.
Oh, I think you have to have something in place by the start of the season to get maximum return. Trade
If that's realistic, I would agree. I don't know that it is because everything else is going on. I like to think that it is, but right now we have no idea where his head's at. He could be thinking maybe he's a U.S. kid. He wants to go back to the St. Louis area, or his buddy John's gone, so he wants to be gone. Like, there's a lot of different ways this can go, but if he's of the mind that, you know, he's going to wear a letter probably to see if he stays and really, you know, be true to his word and be a part of this team going forward, then I think that window, I think it's open now to try and get something done, but I'm not convinced right now. I have no idea what's going on with that situation.
Number one, I'm not believing anything a player says about being true to their word on wanting to be here anymore. Number two, I know how the Tkachuks operate, and I'm not saying it's wrong. But they're going to take this to the utmost limit next year,
yeah.
Which means that we could lose him for nothing. And I think that's a very, very slippery slope to go down right now with this team based on
what we've just done. They're in a very precarious position right now. And, you know, not to fault Tree Living or Gaudreau or anybody, but, I mean, obviously to a point, but they shouldn't be in this position. They had a really, really great, great season, had a pretty good playoff until the wheels come off. And this sucks. I mean,
it's a difficult situation. It really is.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it because, you know, everybody's going to be like, you can't do that to Matthew Tkachuk. He's too important. But it's too important that we don't lose him for nothing. I would tell him, you know what? We really want you. Here's 10, and I think that's overpricing them. I do. I think Gaudreau is a better player than Matthew Tkachuk.
Absolutely.
I my gut says 8.5, but he's not going to sign for that. You say, hey, we're going to give you 9.5 for 8 years. You got to let us know by August 15th, or you better have your bags packed.
Yeah. It's hard to keep that private too, because that stuff becomes public so easily nowadays, right?
I know.
And then, of course, that drives his value down because you know he wants out, and you know how it is. So
I know.
Yeah.
But how do you do this? Because if Tree Living takes a risk, which is probably what will happen, he signs a 1-year offer, gets his $9 million next year, and then in December, this team, if they're good. If this team's doing great, then we have to keep him because otherwise we'd be like, you're trading Matthew Tkachuk, you're going to the playoffs. And if we're bad, then we're not going to get anything for him.
Yeah, you know, if it came down to it, I'd do the deal at the deadline even entering the playoffs. And I know not many people are going to like that at all. And at the time, I won't like it. But if it comes to that, like you cannot. You can't lose a player for nothing. You just can't. And with this franchise has done it so many friggin' times.
I hate it, but I almost feel like the safest thing, because I honestly believe that he wants to go to St. Louis, and I look at their roster, and they have some pieces that would be a good trade back and forth. And his best buddy, Robert Thomas, signed long-term today in St. Louis.
Yeah, for huge money. I'd look at his stats because that's an overpayment in my books, but maybe I'll be wrong, you know, as that deal moves along. But holy Lord.
I think they're taking a risk there.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a very good player.
He is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was just wild. But, you know, the other thing that comes out of this that really worries me, as it relates to the whole team, not just the Tkachuk situation, but signing all of these guys, plugs, as many of them refer to on Twitter. Depth is good, and I like depth. And the other problem with this team, it's been a problem, we've talked about this before for so many years, is depth guys plugging holes ahead of prospects who are ready to play. If Jacob Pelche is not on that opening night roster, there's something seriously wrong with this team, unless he falls off a cliff with his conditioning this summer. Matthew Phillips deserves a look at least. They've got to stop plugging those holes with guys who are barely NHL players.
I think he's a second line on this team next year. Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. I would think that would probably be a ceiling, but...
You can't bring him in and put him on the fourth, because that's not going to work.
I think you got to bring him in, try him out, you know, do the 10-15 games, see how he does. If he's not ready, you're right, he has to be in a scoring line. But he needs an opportunity to play in the friggin' league.
I don't know that Sutter gives it to him either. And I love Daryl Sutter, I do, but it's just not him. It's not him.
Yeah.
I don't know. So... A couple other questions. Do you think Oliver Shillington or Yusuf Alamaki gets moved this summer?
I would think Alamaki probably does. Shillington works so well tandem, I think it's hard to break that up. And I think as the season went on, Sutter liked Shillington a lot more. I think, we all did.
Yeah.
Alamaki is like a better Tim Erickson. You know, he's going to get bitter and he's going to want out. I mean, the Erickson thing was because he wanted to play for the Rangers, but, you know, it bit him in the ass. His career went nowhere.
That was the hockey gods getting him there.
Absolutely, yeah. Valimaki's a skilled player, and I was really high on him. I still think of It's against Colorado, maybe in the playoffs. He threw that hit at the blue line, which led directly to a Flames goal by none other than James Neal, if I remember correctly. But Valimaki has shown flashes of being a really, really good defenseman, but I don't know if it's a problem between the ears or what, but if either one of them gets moved, I would say it's Valimaki.
I would agree. Mangiapane, I'm assuming you believe we'll get him locked up long term.
I think so. I think he's the shoe-in to be the first guy to try in that top line in the fall as well.
I know, and I agree. But I don't know if he's a first-line wing. I will see. I love
him. I think he's got the shooting ability to play there, no problem. And pot 30, maybe even 40 goals. The problem with the top line now is that sublime playmaking is gone.
I know.
You know, so how's that all going to come together? I don't know.
Does Milan Lucic get moved? I don't know how you move him, but people seem to think like it's going to happen. So many people are talking about it like it's going to happen, and I'm like, I thought his no-move clause was really, really, really secure. I mean, like.
Yeah, I think it is, but I also think, based on what happened with Seattle expansion draft and where he was just prior to Bill Peters being fired, I think Lucic, kind of feels indebted to the Flames because they allowed him a chance to continue his career and reestablish himself to an extent. So I think if they had a deal in place, unless it's somewhere he really didn't want to go, I think he'd take it, you know, move on to there for the rest of the season, possibly retire. I think that's just the vibe I get. I mean, the team really put a lot of faith in him, and he played very well at times, and I think he'd be open to it.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But
still a hard move, a very hard move.
It is.
If you have an opportunity, then I think you take that all day long.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a stressful couple weeks, and it was frustrating because we were just waiting for the Johnny Gaudreau thing. And I know I had my days I thought he was going to sign, and then I had my times I didn't think he was going to sign. And I always said, well, we'll just plan B it if he doesn't. And I looked at plan B today, and I'm like, I don't even know what the hell plan B is. But
nobody does.
I hope that we can navigate through this. I hope that the fan base will really take a look at what the organization did on this one, because I'm going to defend the organization. I think they did as much as they can. Did it go perfectly? No. But I don't know what they could have done. I don't know. I you can't make somebody play here if they don't want to play here.
And well, like I said earlier, it's like any breakup, right? I mean, you can sit there and say, I should have done this, they should have done that, we should have done this. It is what it is. I mean, it's a sport, it's a business, it's a done deal, and it sucks. And looking back on it, there's certainly certain points where I feel that things could have been done differently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the free agent class is extremely weak overall, not unlike the draft class, you know, relatively speaking. So, as I said earlier, at the very least, they weren't going to go out and sign somebody, or didn't go out and sign anybody yet, to say, oh, we're going to try and replace Gaudreau. They know that they can't, but in terms of what plan B is or what that looks like, I think it's mostly by committee, and you hope to find a couple diamonds in the rough maybe in free agency, some guys that maybe have some scoring touch that just haven't found their way somewhere else, and move on.
You know, was there a free agent today that you really wanted the Flames to go after? I had one that I really wanted them to go after.
David Perron comes to mind, because I think he's remarkably consistent, and I think he signed in Detroit, I believe.
He did.
Yeah, so he just because he's a guy, kind of, it's not dissimilar to Toffoli or Coleman's, like you could plug him in your lineup and he'd do well, probably brought you 20, 30 goals, but Platt interests me a bit, but nobody was like, I really want that guy. Who was the one you had in mind?
I wanted Andrew Copp really bad.
Yeah. He got paid too, of course.
I figured he would fit into this lineup as a second line center for us, and I wanted him.
Yeah. I think a trade's coming. I don't know what it would look like. I don't know who would be involved. But there's got to be something coming that's going to shake this team up at least a bit, because it's essentially the same team, less your best player.
Pretty much.
And there's no. It almost reminds me, not as bad, but it kind of reminds me a bit of the Young Guns era. You're going into a season where it feels awful to go into that season, and that's how it's going to feel if we go into the season the way we are now, just less our best player. So I think some kind of a change of some magnitude is due, just to shake this up a bit, because every Flames fan right now, just whether they want to admit it or not, most will tell you, but we all feel awful. How the hell couldn't we, right?
We do. I'm ready to go to bed tonight. I am. I don't even know. I need a couple days to like just decompress. I knew as the day was going on today, I'm just like, oh man, this show tonight's going to be a rough go, man. It's just because I wish I would have looked at Cap Friendly and played around a little bit and said, all right, if Gaudreau goes, here's what I'd like to see him do. But most of the time, those things never work. I mean, you can't just, this isn't like PlayStation hockey here. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And a lot's going to have to happen this summer. And, I don't know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all goes down. But, do you think Johnny Gaudreau gets booed when he comes back?
That is such a difficult question. Because if you pay any attention to Twitter, you see, like, I'm going to boo him so hard, and you all better too. People say, oh, standing ovation, he was great when he was here, which is true. You know what? Yesterday, I would have said mostly cheering. Today, I think it's a lot of boos. Because Columbus is not home. Columbus is 8 to 10
that
hours.
He is not home. You're right. No, he signed with the Devils. You just signed with the Devils.
Yeah, like things change. He had his reasons, obviously. We'll hear more about them in the days ahead. But you couple that with saying he wanted to be in Calgary with, you know, fans just being upset. By no fault of John's that he's gone for nothing. Like, and I can't emphasize enough, a 115-point season and you lost him for nothing. And I brought this up earlier. There's this one guy on Twitter. He always tries to pick a fight with me. I don't know why, but he just disagrees with everything I say. Again, this team has a history of losing players for nothing. And they'll say, like, oh, well, Aginla, they got stuff for him. It just wasn't very much. It's essentially nothing. Let's say, oh, well, Aginla's past his prime. That's not the point. You're still losing an asset for nothing. And if you should have moved it sooner, should have moved it later, whatever. Like, it happened, you know, Kiprusoff retiring, so anyway.
Yeah, but you can't control that. Like, you know what, I'm not defending. I look at this one, and I look at the Kiprusoff one differently. The Aginla, they probably waited a year or two too long. But you know what, if they would have traded Aginla 2 years earlier, the fan base would have been freaking irate.
But I still think as a GM in the NHL,
you're right. You're right.
It's like when a sales manager, you know, gets fired because his staff underperformed. It's not necessarily his fault. I'm not here to point fingers, but, you know, it's something that in a perfect world, you would have avoided. But anyway, to answer your first question more pointedly, and I knew that, you know, the show tonight was going to be a lot of back and forth and a lot of, I don't know how to say it, just angst, I guess. At this point, based on the Columbus signing, I do think he's getting booed when he's in Calgary. And I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying it's right. I wouldn't be one of the ones booing him. You know, I still think a lot of the guy. I'm very disappointed in how this played out. I don't really care where a player plays as long as it's consistent with what's going on, what's being said. But after the Columbus decision, and I love Columbus. I've been there. I'll go again. I'll probably be at the game, actually, when Calgary's in town in December. I think they're going to boo him. None of it makes sense.
I think what you need to do.
Here we go.
Is I think for everything he's done for the organization over the 6 years, and I mean, he was a stand-up guy in Calgary, well-liked. I mean, you know, I think you do a tribute video, and I think everybody needs to give him the respect and remember the good. But then you need to boo him a little while, and then after that first game that he comes to Calgary, you just let it go.
Well, similarly, somebody said yesterday, well, you know, what do you do with jersey number 13? Do you hold off for a while for letting somebody have it? I said, absolutely not. He chose to walk away from the team. He's moving on with his life. They need to move on from him right away. You know, there's that unspoken rule. Nobody can wear 14, but as far as 13 goes in Calgary, you know, if he's an NHL player, let him have it.
No, I don't want to be that guy. Nobody's going to go to Calgary.
Nobody would want to be that guy.
Fire over the 13. I'll take the 13. No one's going to say that. No one's going to say that. But, you know,
I don't know. Maybe some kid goes in there with some balls. I don't know. All I'm saying is from the team's perspective, that number should not be kept off limits. It is not sacred. You know, if it's a business decision or a family decision, however you want to frame it. If somebody wants it, and I agree with you, I don't think anybody will right away, but, you know, there's that whole unspoken rule in Calgary, nobody wears 14.
It takes,
by this point, somebody probably should, but as far as 13 goes, it's just a number.
Kyle, it takes 38 minutes, and you finally get the Gaudreau anger out of you.
Oh, yeah. You think that's all of it? I think you're a long ways from done yourself.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time. And just probably because I feel like, and I know it, I will respect the fact that during the season last year, he had no choice other than to say, hey, I love Calgary. I love playing here. You know, this is my team. If he in December would have been like, yeah, peace out at the end of the year. You know, it's been good knowing you. I mean, you can't do that. So, like, I respect him. Like,
other teams wouldn't have even wanted him in some.
He had to play the game, right? But at the end of the season, he could have went on his exit interview and say, you know what, Brad, there is zero chance I sign here. You don't need to make that public. I'm not going to make that public. Let's just let this go. But when you're going into the draft and you're going into these things, you need to plan that my dollar amount's not going to be sitting there, and you're not going to have to figure out how to come up with $10 million to pay me, because I'm not staying here. If he would have done that, I would have freaking been a 13 fan forever. But he didn't do that, and he negotiated to the last second. Then he says, "Oh, family deal, I'm out of here," and then doesn't even go to home. Then I'm done. I'm done. Then I'll remember Johnny as the guy who disappeared in the Colorado series a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, there's other stuff too. Like some people, you know, piling on today on Twitter, and Sid, formerly Tim and Sid, was on there saying something about, like, clearly he doesn't want to win, clearly this, clearly that, because he went to Columbus. And I think that's a little heavy-handed. I do think that he wants less of the spotlight, because to go from a market like Calgary to a market like Columbus, that is such a swing in the pendulum. I don't know how else you can take that. But, you know, we don't know the guy's day-to-day life. Like, we don't,
nope.
I mean, family, you know, the whole family thing, it's not just about John being close to family, you know, in the Jersey area. It's about his family. His wife is, I believe, 8 months pregnant now with their first child. Maybe, I said Columbus, a great, great city. I feel safer in Columbus than I do in my own hometown, right?
He's got to be happy. And if this is what it is, then...
See, now, Brad, you and I are coming full circle after we've got our anger out, right?
But, he should have been straight up.
But I agree. And, you know, like, again, I'm not defending him. I'm not blaming Brad Treeling. But I got to believe that it really was a do I don't. It's, you know, again, like the end of a relationship. Do I leave? Do I try and fix this? Like, that's the only way I contextualize it, because I don't think anybody would ever be so callous as to intentionally mislead someone like this. But unfortunately, that is what happened, and I don't think anybody can deny that. It should not have gone as late as it did, because it completely handcuffed the team. It is what it is. I think it sucks, but
move on. I got a feeling when we talk here next time, and next time you're on, and our thought process on this whole thing will be much different. Hopefully you've got a lineup chart in front of you that you feel like is going to work, and I got a lineup chart in front of that, you know, that as they piece it together this summer, and I don't know, we'll see what happens. It's just a difficult day to be a Flames fan, and there's no other way to put it. It's just a difficult day to be a Flames fan.
A difficult couple of days. Yesterday was hard enough. Today was a hard
kick in the crotch.
Yeah.
When I saw Columbus, I just threw my phone down. I'm like, freaking, I'm done. I can't watch anymore tonight. I can't do this. I'm going to have to watch.
It is the strangest free agent decision that I think I've ever seen. Can you think of one that you would say was stranger?
No. Most of the time, you know, on free agent day, it's, you know, I just spend my time going, holy crap, they gave that guy that much? Oh, my God. Are they crazy?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't usually spend it going, like, that makes absolutely no sense. But, like, we are so, we watch this team, and we're so ingrained in this team and know the ins and the outs, that when we see him go to a play, that, you know, that would have been like, if he'd have freaking went to L.A., I'd have been like, what? You know, like, what? Yeah. Like, none of this makes sense, you know? But I don't know. I don't know. That's just been the day. I don't know. I'm speechless today, and I... Oh, well. We'll figure it out in the weeks coming, right?
Well, that's all we can do, and hopefully the team does, too. I mean, we'll, you know... this is why I try not to have a knee-jerk reaction to things. A lot of people said a lot of things on Twitter yesterday I think that they're going to regret, and likely today, too.
I didn't say a whole lot bad. I just was more like, what?
No, and I'm the same boat. I'm just like, what the hell? And like I said, even people close to John, I'm like, what the hell, you know? But he has his reasons. It's a business, but I agree with you. And if a few more weeks, I mean, when the dust settles, yeah, which is going to take some time, the Flames still have a pretty decent roster.
Yeah.
It just now they need a playmaker, you know, as much as they need anything. And I still think there's a little bit of weakness down the middle, but there's still some pieces there. But to your earlier point, what they do next, if Tkachuk wants out, then we're going in a completely different direction. If he's willing to stay, then I don't think we're that far off. So we'll see what happens.
We're going in a completely different direction unless we see what the return is, because I think the return could be really good.
Well, good old-fashioned hockey trade, hopefully.
I hope
but so. Ideally, we won't be talking about that, because ideally this guy stays put, unlike the other guy.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, then we're going to go. I was a big critic of Johnny Gaudreau. But he proved to me something last year. He proved to me that I would rather have him than Matthew Tkachuk.
I don't think there was too many people in that camp at one point in time. But, you know.
I love Matthew Tkachuk, and I think he's a great hockey player. I am so deathly afraid of the price tag he thinks he's going to get. Is going to be so far out of market value that it's just not. It's going to be a dumb signing if we do it. So
it's very scary. And I'll just offer a closing thought on Gaudreau that I don't know if he's going to offer any solace to anybody. But I was fortunate enough to be there when he tied the game against Anaheim in 2015, Game 3, and obviously the Dallas goal, an overtime Game 7. When's the last time we had an epic Game 7 moment as Flames fans? You know, the guy gave us
Matt Stajan.
Yeah. Okay, Game 7, overtime winner. All right, how's that? I couldn't even tell you. Well,
Spreaking. Old, what was the name?
Yeah, game 6.
Spreaking. Yeah.
But a series winner would have been in overtime. It would have been one of the Jelena goals, probably in 2004. So, hey, but point being, he gave us some great memories, some phenomenal plays. It just really, really sucks. It shouldn't have went like this, but it did. And hopefully it works out for Columbus. We'll see what happens next.
We'll see. It was fun talking to you with you, Kyle.
Pleasure's mine.
Kind of a sad night. So
I'm going to bed.
let's regroup, and next time we talk, we'll be talking on better terms. But have a good night. Have a good night, and thanks so much for joining the show.
You too. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, Flames fans, I hope the counseling session with Kyle Lewis helped you out, because, he's one of my guys I like to talk to a lot when it comes to Flames hockey. Let's talk some Flames news. Preseason schedule comes out. Going to get her going September 25th with a pair of games against the Vancouver Canucks split squad. And then Seattle 2 against Edmonton, another Seattle one, and finish it off with a back-to-back with the Winnipeg Jets. A total of 9 preseason games on the schedule for the Flames this year. And then the regular season. The regular season will get started the third night of the regular season this year. I believe it's a Thursday night, and the Flames start at home, you guessed it, against the defending Stanley Cup champions. Tall task right away for the Flames, who will be a much different looking Flames team. From there, the Flames head on over to Edmonton for a Saturday night hockey night in Canada battle, and then return home for an 8-game homestand, the longest of the year, 8 games at home. Whew. Last year, the Flames went out on a long roadie, and I think it helped gel this team together. And now we're going to get to try our luck at home with 8 in a row there. We have one road game in October next year. Not too many. February only has 4 home games, so that's going to be a big month of road trips. And the Flames' longest road trip this year is 6 games. We're going to see that in November. I believe it's late November where they're going to hit that Florida run. Tampa, Florida, then on up to Philly, Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina. Tough road test there. This year, no Olympic break. That'll help a lot. Hopefully no COVID breaks. I think we're past that, right? We're past that. An all-star break, which will be taking place in February, I believe. All in all, not too bad of a schedule this year for the Flames. I don't know if I like a homestand quite that long to start the year, but I guess what it is. Prospect camp, development camp started this last Monday. I think it is just wrapping up right now as a lot of the young Flames are getting together, learning how the organization is, and prospect camps are always good for the development of young players and for this coaching staff to see where players are at and how they're progressing. Qualifying offers, yeah, the Flames did qualify some people this week as qualifying offers were extended to Oliver Shillington, Andrew Mangiapane, Matthew Phillips, Colton Poolman, Martin Prospel, Adam Raziska, Matthew Tkachuk, and Atu Tulia. And a couple didn't. We did not tender qualifying offers to Tyler Parsons and Jonas Knievel. They will become UFAs now, and I don't think that's a big surprise. The Tyler Parsons thing, that just didn't pan out, and we gave it ample time. There was definitely ample time there. Memorial Cup, boy, there was some stars in the Memorial Cup, and I saw a graphic. It said drafted CHL players in the Memorial Cup, and it was kind of the cream of the crop in the Memorial Cup, and I saw 3 names on there that had Calgary logos next to it. Whew, that's good. Kuznetsov, Francis, and Pierre Poirier, we need to infuse some youth into this team, and this is a year that we might just have to do that, just to put together a roster. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I know that goes against a little bit of what Daryl Sutter He's a more veteran laden team, but we'll see. I do think for the betterment of the organization, we're going to have to infuse a little bit of youth in there. But we'll see how that goes. Now this week, it was a stressful week. I posed a Facebook question to my friends over at Flames Hub. If you're not part of that Facebook group, please do. A good group of guys. Always fun talking Flames hockey with the guys over at Flames Hub. But I posted the question, with Johnny Gaudreau's decision to test free agency a reality now, what direction do you think the Flames should go with restricted free agent Matthew Tkachuk? I posed 3 responses. The first, give him a blank check, no limits, sign him long term, get it done before this season starts. Option number 2 was take the risk of losing him for nothing, sign him to the 1-year qualifying offer, and hope negotiations go good next year. And the 3rd was trade him this summer to get maximum return. The safe pick. I was interested with the response. 162 people over the last 12 hours fired off responses. Only 4% said let him sign the 1-year qualifying offer and risk signing him next year to a long-term contract. Only 7 people, 4% of the respondents said that. Next, 60 people, 37% said, give him a blank check, whatever, no questions asked, get it done this summer. This surprised me. 95 people, 59% said, don't take the risk, we've lost too much now. Trade them, get some great assets, plug those assets in, and not rebuild but retool this team. And I hate saying this, but based off what I've seen from Matthew Tkachuk, how hard a negotiator his agent and his family is, and I'm not saying I don't want Matthew Tkachuk on the team next year. Pretty difficult task of getting him back. I feel like if he wants to be a Flame, the Flames will offer him enough money this summer to make it be something that he would be interested in doing. If he doesn't, that's a sign. And that's a sign that we need to act on it now so we can get some assets. We can't afford to go down this road again. It'll be interesting, and we'll see what happens, and it's going to be a slippery slope because no one wants to lose Matthew Tkachuk, but we can't afford to lose him for nothing.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, we're in the middle of the offseason. Free agents is going on now. We signed Zadorov today. That's good. But we lost Johnny Gaudreau. And it was a tough, tough week. It's been a tough week. It's been a frustrating week. So many unanswered questions, so many emotions, so many we just don't know where we're going now. And it's been difficult. As Kyle and I talked about earlier in the show, it's time to let the dust settle. It's time to take a step back. Let's enjoy our season. Let's spend some time with family. Let's chill out. It's a sport. We do this for fun, right? We do this for fun. Things will be okay. The sun is going to come up tomorrow. I don't know how we're going to replace a 100-point man. I'm a realist. But I do know that we have some money now, and I do know that this team will do its damnedest to try to replace the 100-point man. We're going to be back for another episode July 27th as we will start to explore what this roster is going to look like post-Gaudreau. And should be interesting trying to put this roster together. A little bit more of a challenge than we probably wanted, right, Flames fans? Check us out on flamesunfiltered.com. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the video version over at YouTube on Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Yeah. Check us out. We appreciate everybody that supports the show, listens to the show, and it's always good to hear good positive responses. Give us a good rating. That would really help out the show. Anyways, enjoy your off season. We appreciate each and every one of you. Put a smile on your face. This is a sport. It's a hockey. We love it. And everything will work out, Flames fans.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.